The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In these readings, there's lots of obvious things that we should be able to meditate on, to pray upon here. I'll leave those for your meditation. They're really good meditations there. But this one is the one that speaks, I think, to us now today. How long will you grieve over Saul? Remember, Samuel is the great prophet. The reason why Saul is king is because Samuel was sent by God to go out and find him and to anoint him, and God wanted to make him the first king of Israel. Samuel felt rejected because he was supposed to be the one who was supposed to rule over Israel on behalf of God, going to the prophet. He felt rejected there. God said, "I've got this," and sent him on this path. Samuel was the one who anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, and he was rejected by God because he turned his heart away from God. So Samuel felt responsible for that. Samuel had so tied himself to this administration that he thought, because this thing failed, I'm probably a failure too. And so he's grieving over what he saw, the project that he had. How many of us are like that? When we put our hand to the plow, whether it's something in our secular lives, something with our families, or even something that we've done for God, a project that we've begun, something that maybe our group has begun and it's not come the way that we thought it would. It's fallen, it's failed. Maybe other people aren't rallying around it like we think they should. We feel rejected. We grieve. Part of that is human and good, but when it becomes excessive, that's when we miss out on what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to sit there and remain with that, because what does it do when we sit there and grieve over something, some act? It takes our focus off of what God is actually trying to do. It puts our focus on what we can see and what we ourselves can do. And we forget about it's all about what God has in store and what he wants to do. It's not about us. We put that focus on ourselves. And when we do so, we disallow ourselves from being able to put our full trust and our hope in God. You're the group who comes here day after day after day, in good weather, in bad weather, when your family is here, or maybe when they're away. You come here all the time to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And what do we pray? Time and time again, we end the Chaplet of Divine Mercy saying what? Jesus, in ti confío. Jesus, I trust in you. That's what it says below the images which we have here. That means I trust in you with this project. I trust in you with this family member of mine. I trust in you with this thing that I put so much effort into that has failed. But you've got a way out. When Samuel did that, what happened? God showed him that there was even a better king in store, King David. One whom it says was a man who was after God's own heart. If Samuel remained within his own grief, Israel would have been deprived of the greatest king they ever had until Jesus Christ was announced as king of all Israel and of the whole world. There's a project in your life. There's a difficulty. There's a struggle. Whatever that is, whatever it is that you're grieving over today, put that into the chalice. Say, "Jesus, I trust in you with this one, with this project, with this difficulty. You've got something better in store. I can't see it, but you can. Jesus, I trust in you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.